Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 54 to close at 24,713. S&P 500 down 2 at 2,720. NASDAQ down 15 at 7,382. Russell 2000 small and mid caps up 8 at 1,625. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 1 basis point at 3.11%. Oil up 8 cents at $71.57 per barrel. Gold unchanged at $12.91.20 per ounce. Stocks fell, at least the big cap stocks. Small caps continued a rally that has pushed the Russell 2000 to 2 straight sessions of record highs. Tech stocks were down after a less than satisfying earnings report from Cisco Systems, which dropped 3.8%. Shares of Applied Materials fell 2% in after-hours trade as the chipmaker materials supplier's sales outlook came in below the Wall Street consensus. Nordstrom shares fell more than 5% in late trading after the retailer posted first-quarter results above expectations, but same-store sales rose less than expected. Walmart posted an earnings and sales beat. The big number for Walmart was a 33% jump in digital sales. The bad news for Walmart is that most of what they sell is food, and people don't buy much food online. Walmart shares dropped 2% today. Investors continue to monitor a rise in bond yields. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note rose to near a 7-year high. That pressured the defensive sectors of the market, such as utilities and real estate, both of which offer higher dividend yields than the broader market. The utility sector fell 0.9%. The real estate sector down 0.5%. The average rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage jumped to 4.61%, according to Freddie Mac. That's up from 4.55% last week and the highest level since May 2011. Funny thing, though, it's only making home buyers move faster. Homes that sold last month went into contract after a median of 36 days on the market. It's a record speed in data going back to 2010. With this week's jump, the monthly payment on a $300,000 30-year loan has now climbed to $1,540. That's up from $1,424 at the beginning of the year, when the average rate was 3.95%. And buyers are moving before prices get out of reach. Also, a skimpy inventory might be a bigger problem than rising mortgage rates. The European Union is getting angry with Trump. EU leaders presented a united front at a meeting in Bulgaria, laying the groundwork for retaliation if White House trade threats are carried out. EU President Donald Tusk said the EU will continue fighting for the rules-based international system despite recent U.S. decisions on climate change, tariffs, and on Iran. On trade, all agreed to back the European Commission's insistence that it will not negotiate unless the U.S. grants a permanent exemption from tariffs on steel and aluminum. Meanwhile, Trump's threats of trade war with China may have helped drive that nation into the arms of Russia, at least when it comes to buying tons of soybeans. China has purchased record amounts of soybeans from Russia in recent months, some 850,000 metric tons of soybeans to China between July 2017 and mid-May this year. That's more than double the previous growing period. China has canceled multiple U.S. shipments in recent weeks ahead of tariffs, including a 62,000-ton purchase on April 19th. China included soybeans on a list of tariffs on U.S. products last month, totaling $50 billion, a direct response to the Trump administration's announcement of $150 billion of tariffs against Chinese imports. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into whether the Trump campaign coordinated with Russia to influence the 2016 election turns a year old today. Trump marked the anniversary of Mueller's appointment with a series of early morning tweets suggesting the FBI spied on his campaign and Mueller had not found what he was looking for. In 365 days, Mueller's team has charged 19 people as well as three companies and secured five guilty pleas. A Delaware judge has denied CBS's request for a temporary restraining order against the Redstone family that would have enabled the media company to strip its controlling shareholder of its voting power. The family's holding, National Amusements, controls nearly 80% of the voting power of CBS. The court found CBS would not face irreparable harm without a restraining order because it has other avenues to pursue legal action if the Redstones remove directors improperly or try to force a merger of CBS with Viacom in a way that might be detrimental to shareholders. CBS is holding a special board meeting this evening to consider the approval of a stock dividend that would dilute National Amusements' voting power to 17%. However, National Amusements amended the company's bylaws on Wednesday to require 90% of board members to approve such a move, a threshold that effectively gives it veto power. Kroger has signed an exclusive deal with Ocado, the British online grocer that makes tech-savvy supply chain and fulfillment technology. It's another way of saying they use robots to fill orders for groceries. Kroger will pay undisclosed monthly exclusivity and consultancy fees, which will offset the total cost of the deal that has yet to be agreed. Kroger buying a 5% stake in Ocado for £183 million under the terms of the deal. Kroger will use Ocado's smart platform technology to develop three new automated warehouses across the U.S. this year that will use robots to fulfill orders. Bear is targeting 20 new warehouses across the U.S. over the next 3 years. Ocado shares, which are listed on the FTSE 250 index in London, jumped almost 50% on news of the deal. PayPal Holdings is buying Swedish small business platform iZettle for $2.2 billion, expanding in Europe and Latin America and increasing its presence in brick-and-mortar stores. The deal is the biggest ever for PayPal. It will help it compete with Square, Inc., which made a name for itself by helping small businesses and food truck vendors conduct credit card and mobile transactions. iZettle also started out with a mobile phone gadget for accepting credit card payments. It has since expanded into software and financing services to support small businesses. The Conference Board said its leading economic index advanced 0.4% in April, with March's gain upwardly revised a tick at 0.4%. The index hasn't declined on a monthly basis in nearly 2 years. Few expect a slowdown anytime soon with an already solid economy goosed by new tax cuts. If there are concerns, they include the impact of rising gasoline prices on consumers and a global economy that has lost some steam since the end of last year. The Bureau of Economic Analysis has released data on real personal income growth for states and cities for 2016. It's a little dated, but still interesting. Overall, real or inflation-adjusted income growth slowed sharply in 2016 to a U.S. average of 1.1%, from 4.7% in 2015. The decline stemmed in large part from an increase in inflation. The Consumer Price Index rose 1.3% in 2016 from basically zero in 2015. People living in Utah and Georgia saw their incomes grow 3.3%. Washington State residents saw 3% growth. Arizona did well with 2.6% real income growth for 2016, while the Greater Phoenix metro area saw 4% income growth. Incomes in eight states declined in 2016, with all but one heavily involved in the production of oil and natural gas. Incomes fell 3.6% in Wyoming, 2.7% in Oklahoma, 1.9% in Louisiana, and 0.8% in Texas. Oil prices tumbled in 2016. That caused many energy producers to scale back. The states with the highest cost of living in 2016 were the usual suspects: Hawaii, New York, California, D.C. They also had the highest rents. Mississippi, Alabama, and Arkansas were the cheapest places to live. Cleveland had the lowest rents of all major U.S. cities. Initial claims for state unemployment benefits rose 11,000 to a seasonally adjusted 222,000 last week. Labor market is viewed as being close to full employment, with the jobless rate at a 17.5-year low of 3.9%. Arizona's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate remained unchanged at 4.9% in April. That's a full percentage point higher than the national unemployment rate of 3.9%. Over the month, Arizona's seasonally adjusted labor force level increased by nearly 6,000 workers. Employment grew by 2.3% over the year in April. It works out to about 63,100 jobs. Have you seen the recent TV ads for Wells Fargo? They say, established 1852, re-established 2018. The bank is looking for a fresh start after years of scamming customers. The only problem is they keep screwing up. The Wall Street Journal reports some employees in a Wells Fargo unit that handles business banking improperly changed information on documents related to corporate customers. The employees in Wells Fargo's wholesale unit, which is separate from its retail bank, added or altered information without customers' knowledge. The information added varied from social security numbers to addresses to date of birth for people associated with business banking clients. The incidents happened in 2017 and early 2018 as Wells Fargo was trying to meet a deadline to comply with a regulatory consent order related to the bank's anti-money laundering controls. The bank has reported the problem to the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. The agency is probing the problem, so it appears the bank is asking for forgiveness for cheating even as they continue to cheat. Well, to paraphrase scripture, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And he answered, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. I'm not sure how many times Wells Fargo has screwed up, but I think they're getting pretty close to their limit. Dow Industrials down 54 at 24,713. S&P 500 down 2 at 2,720. NASDAQ down 15 at 7,382. And the Russell hits a record, up 8 at 1,625. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog, eatthebankers.com.